My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and today we are continuing in our sermon series called Incomparable. And so if you've brought a Bible, why don't you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel today, chapter 11. During the last couple of months, we've been looking at some of the most well-known, some of the most beloved, some of the most familiar parables of our Lord Jesus. And today we're actually looking at two parables right there in Luke chapter 11. We're going to be focusing in there on verse 5 through 13. And while you're turning there, for those of you who were here last week, Resurrection Sunday, like, wasn't that the best Easter ever? Like, praise the Lord, huh? My goodness. Good Friday, I think, will forever be memorable. So many God at Work testimonies. Like, don't you love those? Weren't they great? And Resurrection Sunday, my goodness, fantastic worship. And like the worship, just wow. And a fantastic message from Pastor Scott. And the gospel was proclaimed and Jesus was exalted. And more testimonies, baptisms. It was just an extraordinary weekend. And for those of you who were able to join us for that, thank you. I trust that you were blessed like I was. And today we have such a great passage ahead of us here. This may be familiar to many of you. For some of you, it may be the first time you've actually paid close attention to it. The big idea today, just as a heads up, the big idea is this: God answers prayer. And as you hear that, you're like, yeah, I think I knew that. I guess I sort of believe that. And we're definitely going to be looking at that this morning. The big idea is God answers prayer. He really does. Why don't you guys say it with me? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He does. In fact, everything I shared with you about last Sunday is really evidence that God does hear and answer prayer. And so as I say that, the big idea, God answers prayer. As you hear that, and as you kind of process it, let me just ask you this. How is your prayer life going? Before I read the text, consider this. How is your prayer life going? All right? If I were to ask you this morning, hey, how are things going for you in prayer? What would you say? What would you say? I think all of us would agree God answers prayer. Yep. I knew it. Okay, great. So we know it. How is your prayer life going? Some of you might say it's awesome. It's really going well. But the truth is, maybe if you're honest this morning, you might be saying, I don't know, maybe struggling, I don't know, maybe it's short, maybe it's a bit lacking. I mean, I believe that God hears and answers prayer, I really do, but when it comes to the actual praying, I guess I'm sort of struggling. And a majority of us might actually say that if you're honest. Fortunately, our God is not some sort of school teacher where he's checking our prayer attendance records to determine whether we get a good grade or not a good grade. Fortunately not. The amazing thing about prayer is that we don't have to do it in order to please God, because Jesus has already made us pleasing to the Father when we come to faith in him. And so our passage today, Gospel of Luke, verse 5 and following, it recounts a time when the disciples overlooked Jesus praying, and they came to ask him about it. They have some questions about Jesus praying, and Jesus teaches them, intends to teach them about prayer, and this morning our Lord is willing to do that for us as well. And so before I read this, I tell you what, why don't we just go to the Lord and pray, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to kind of give us clarity, that he would be our teacher this morning, that you could be blessed and edified and strengthened in your faith as you pursue him. And so, Father, we're thanking you for this time. Lord, we're coming to you right now by faith. We're believing that you're a God that does hear and answer prayer, and we're asking you, O God, to meet with us this morning. Lord, we believe that you speak to us through your word and that we speak to you in prayer. And so right now we are asking you, O Lord, to meet with us. Holy Spirit, that you would teach us and just illuminate Scripture and help us understand and to comprehend. And would you bless us and edify us and draw us closer to Jesus and ultimately align us in such a way so that we could give you more glory, honor, and praise. That's a request now in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. So several lessons today that we're going to be observing right from the passage that Jesus really wants us to know about praying. And so before I read the parable there in verse 5, why don't we get a running start at it? Notice there in verse 1, this really sets the context for us. Notice there, it says this, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. Teach us to pray, O Lord, just as John taught his disciples, verse 2. And he said to them, and this is now a condensed version of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And so here we have Jesus giving his disciples an example to follow when praying. Jesus wants us to pray. Today Jesus is teaching us not how to pray this prayer or to recite prayers, but rather how to pray. Jesus isn't like, hey, when you pray, pray this many words. He's not saying that. Or pray a prayer with these kind of phrases. He's not really saying that. It's not a formula thing. It's not something that you recite before you go to bed at night. In fact, notice there, I love this. Notice there in verse 1, it's really the question, I think, that sets it all up. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. I love that, don't you? There's a lot of people that say their prayers, but do they really know how to pray? There's a lot of people that pray before meals, but do they really know how to pray? There's a lot of people that pray before bed at night, but do they really know how to pray? Of all the things that disciples could have asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us. Of all the things that they could have asked, this is what they wanted to know. Think about it. After watching Jesus for years, I mean, wouldn't they have been curious? Like, Lord, hey, we're going to be preaching, I guess not that long from now, like maybe some homiletics lessons, perhaps. That'd be helpful for us. We're going to be preaching. That would be helpful. That's not what they ask at all. Hey, we're going to be doing some healing. Maybe you can fine-tune our doctrine of healing. Help us understand that. Lord, would you teach us a little bit more about that? That's not what they ask either. Hey, Jesus, help us feed 5,000 people on a streamlined budget. How do you do that? That's not what they ask. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. I love that. And so here's a question before we get to our parable. Have you really learned how to pray? Have you really learned how to pray? Not say your prayers. I mean, the disciples knew how to say their prayers. I mean, they're living in Israel. It's the capital of Judaism. If anybody knows how to pray, it's them. But they know that when Jesus prays, it's different. And so the question for us this morning is, do we really know how to pray? That's what the disciples are after today. Perhaps that's the most important question you could be asking yourself this morning. The disciples wanted to learn, and Jesus taught them. And so they ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And let me just say this, having been a Christian now for 20 years, just going to be honest with you, in ministry more than 10, when it comes to prayer is the easiest thing to assume that other Christians are doing, and it's the hardest thing to maintain. Prayer is the first thing that stops when things go well. And prayer is the most difficult thing to begin doing when times get really tough. And if I could just be honest with you, prayer, for me, prayer has been true prayer. It's been a crucible of my sanctification. I've had some great seasons of prayer where God has showed up. He's done the impossible. I've seen that. I really have. And then there have been seasons in my life where I have failed to pray and I have floundered. And so as I stand up this morning and as we get into God's word, I don't stand here like I'm some prayer expert. I'm in process like each of us. My hope is that you could be blessed and ministered to this morning by God's word, just as I have been this week as I've been preparing for this message. If you're like me, I don't want to assume everything with your prayer life is perfect, because if you're honest, it's probably not. And so, Lord, this morning, would you teach us to pray? And so with that, let's get after this first parable. Notice here, verse 5. My first point this morning is this. When we pray in faith, we will get a response. And so if you'd like to take notes, I invite you to do that. Notice here, verse 5, when he said to them, you guys see it there, verse 5? Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at, when? Midnight, middle of the night. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, hey, friend, middle of the night, hey, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And so let's pause there. So here's the deal. Back in the day, Jesus now speaking, people would travel oftentimes great distances. They would walk oftentimes, or maybe they'd sit on the back of an animal, long journey. They would pull into town, oftentimes small town, and they wouldn't have a Holiday Inn. They wouldn't have a Motel 6 that always had the light on for you, all right? And so sometimes there might be an inn in town, but most of the time you would have to stay with a friend or a friend of a friend or a friend of a friend of a friend, all right? And so such is the case here. It appears that they have been traveling a great distance. They're now knocking on the door. We can infer they've been on a very long distance, and they arrive at what time was it? Midnight. And so according to their culture, sort of the Eastern cultures of this day, it's sort of the expected obligation for like cultural hospitality. And so if somebody shows up, you can't just say, go bother somebody else. It's like you have to save face, you have to be generous, you have to open your home to them. It was expected that you would even feed them. And so verse 5 says, now this guest shows up at midnight, which to some of you, you're like, well, midnight, that's not so late. That's because we have electricity and Netflix, all right? But back in the day, when the sun went down, all right, eat your food, go to bed, all right? And that's just kind of what you did. And so when the sun came up, you would get up and you would get to work. The sun goes down and you go down. And so midnight in this culture was very, very late. And so picture it in the parable. Someone's now knocking at the door. It's midnight. The problem for the homeowner is, I didn't know you were coming. I don't have any food. I didn't expect you. I'm kind of unprepared. Culturally, this would have put the homeowner in a position of shame. This would have been shameful to them. And so now they got to go talk to the neighbor about getting some food. And so maybe you're like, well, that's not such a big deal, Jason. I mean, I know what I'd do. I'd probably, you know, it's midnight, Taco Bell's still open. I think I'd make a run for the border, get him a burrito. All right? Except bad news, Taco Bell wasn't invented yet. And neither was the chili cheese dogs that they sell at the gas station. I mean, that's not an option either. And so where do you go? You go to your neighbor. And so now notice there, verse 7. And from inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I, we are now in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And so if you can imagine this guy now, it's a small home, all right? It's not a 3-bedroom house like what you might live in or a 4-bedroom house, whatever. It's like a small home, maybe 1 bedroom. And like everybody's kind of in the same room together. And the neighbor comes over and he's banging on the door and he's like, I need some bread. I got some guests. I need some bread. And the guy on the inside of the house, hey, listen, it's like the middle of the night right now, and I got my whole family. We're sleeping now. Like, just knock it off. I mean, you're gonna wake everybody up. Don't you know what time it is? And the point of the passage is, the neighbor's like, of course I know what time it is, but I'm gonna keep knocking until you get up and give me what I need, because that's the kind of neighbor I am. And some of you live next to that kind of neighbor. Hey, neighbor, mind if I use your chainsaw? You home? All right, whatever. Notice here it says in verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his, what's the word? Persistence, ESV uses the word impudence. Because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That's actually a very rare word. It actually only occurs here in the New Testament. the original Greek word. It could be translated shameless persistence. It's like a shameless persistence. I ain't giving up for nothing. That's the kind of idea that it is. And so for the neighbor, persistence would indicate that the friend is shamelessly and boldly awakening the neighbor. And of course, the neighbor would give him whatever he needs because I don't want you to wake up my family. And so here's Jesus' point, just so that we're clear. Jesus' point is not, everybody say it's not. Jesus' point is not, hey, when you pray, pray like this, ruthless, shameless neighbor. That's not Jesus' point. The point is, even a friend responds to his neighbor's needs. And so then, Christians should go boldly before God with any need they face because God is more gracious and caring than any human neighbor. Make sense? That's our God. He's a good, good Father. It's who He is. And we're loved by Him. And we have access to Him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can come to Him with whatever is burdening our heart. And so in comparison to prayer, Jesus saying that even if we're not the greatest children of all, even if we're not having the best intentions or motives, God is loving, God is gracious, God is kind. Hear me. Listen, this is so important. And we don't need to make Him good. He just is good. That's who He is. That's who He is. He's a good, good Father. And so we should come to Him day or night, 24/7, on the weekends, because God is a Father and He loves us and He is never asleep and He's never tired and He's never weary and He's never inconvenienced and He's never put out as a neighbor or friend might be. And so if we're going to bug our neighbor, we just as well go and talk with God because God hears and answers prayer. Amen? Amen. And then some of you might be thinking, okay, so, all right, I want to kind of think about this. How do I apply this? Is this really an encouragement to pray? Is this really an encouragement to pray? Well, no, notice there verse 9. Verse 5 to 8 is the parable. Now notice the principle regarding prayer. That's in verse 9. So I say to you, Jesus says, do you see what He says here? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Like, isn't that clear? That's so clear, isn't it? Jesus says prayer is about three things. Pop quiz, what are the three things? The first one's ask. What's the second one? Seek. What's the third one? Knock. That's prayer. The point is, you guys seeing it? Jesus wants us to be like the friend who kept persistently seeking, asking, knocking. And so once again, when we pray in faith, we will get a response. And so let's get practical. Here's what this looks like practically. Maybe it sounds like this, all right? And so things go on in life, and now you're aware of a need that you have. And it's as simple as saying, Father, here's where I'm at. This is exactly the situation, and I really need you to show up, oh God, and Lord, would you help me, and Lord, here's the situation I'm asking, and I can't sort this out on my own, and I don't want to resolve to kind of just fix it with my own devices, Lord. I want to see your hand. I want you to show up. I have nowhere else to turn, oh Lord, so I'm fixing my eyes on you, and God, would you show up in this way, and so I'm asking. And so I'm asking and I'm seeking. Here's a tough question. Is there something that you have not been willing to ask God for? Is there something that you have not talked to God about? The thing is, some of us are planners. We got any planners in the room? Planners. Bad thing happen, need comes up, and you're like, well, I don't need God. I need a plan. And so let me put together an action plan on how I can solve this problem. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm going to plan. Some of you are planners. I'm telling you this morning, you need to talk to the Father before you make a plan. Some of you are worriers, all right? And you worry and you're prone to just freaking out and you don't make a plan. You just worry. And you don't go to the Father and pray, you just worry. And I'm telling you this morning, you need to talk to the Father instead of feeling that worry. Worriers, you know who you are, all right? How's that going for you? Is that working? I mean, is it work? No, it does not work. Worry doesn't help anything. First, go talk with the Father. Father, here's where I'm at, oh Lord. Here is the circumstance. Here's the need. I know that you know it well, God, but I'm just acknowledging that I need you to show up. I'm humbling myself before you. I need you, oh Lord. Prayer is about asking. Prayer is about seeking. Prayer is about knocking. That's what it is. And so what happens when that knock turns into knocking? Turns into knocking. And it's still an unanswered prayer. What happens then? Jason, what do I do then? Well, if you've been paying attention, you persevere. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. That's the big idea. God's a Father that loves you, so keep bringing your requests to Him. Persistence. That's the big idea here. And we're talking about bringing to your Father your needs, not greeds. God's a dad who loves you and adores you, and He's not going to treat you like a stranger, all right? And so the bottom line here, verses 5 through 8, is this. When you pray, you will get a response. Notice there now, verse 11, next verse. Here's the second point. When we pray in faith, we will get according to our need. Now notice here, this is so good. Another parable here. Jesus teaches us to pray with a sense of security in the Father's love. You guys read this before, verse 11 and 12? You guys read it before? This is such an interesting passage, isn't it? This is so interesting. Notice there, verse 11. Now suppose one of you has a father. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. You guys tracking with me here? He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? And so this parable, just kind of reading it this week and studying, it's kind of funny slash scary. It's kind of funny slash scary. I like movies. You guys like movies. Can you ever imagine, like they got this movie on the Apostle Paul right now out in the theaters. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's good or not. I've heard it's kind of good. Like, can you imagine if they turned this passage into a movie on parenting or something? I don't know what the lesson would be. And, I think kids would totally get frightened. And so imagine it, son coming up to his dad. Hey, Dad, I'd really love to have fish for dinner. Like, wouldn't fish sound nice? Maybe for lunch? What do you guys think? Lunch? Fish? You guys up for fish? No, but I will put serpents on you. All right? Like, wait a minute, Dad, you're kind of freaking me out here. Okay, well, forget about the fish then. What about eggs? No! How about a scorpion instead? All right? Like, that's crazy. Dad, you're scaring, you're freaking us out right now. Yeah, that's kind of the point. Like, no earthly, you guys get it? No earthly father's going to do that. Even if your dad is subpar or less than average, if you ask him a reasonable request, like, can I have some eggs for breakfast? He's not going to give you scorpions, even if your dad's not that great, all right? Maybe he's got an odd sense of humor. Maybe dad's a little squirrely. Could be, I don't know. Maybe he's squirrely, all right? But even a reasonable, like, C-plus dad isn't going to do this, all right? Like a C-plus dad, maybe like a D-minus dad might, I don't know. But he needs medicine, perhaps. Got to help dad out. Here's the big idea on prayer. God is a Father, and He is a good, good Father. And some of you, when you pray, let's get honest here. Some of us, when we pray, we're not convinced that He's a good, good Father. And so there are certain things that you will not pray about because you're not sure what He'd do for you. I don't know how many times I've heard this through the years. Hey, Pastor, I don't want to pray about who I should marry because the person I'm currently seeing, I like him, And what happens if I actually pray about it and like God says no? Or I'm pursuing this path, or I'm pursuing this career, or I don't know if I want God's answer on it. I don't know if I would like that. What if he says no? What if he says not now? What if he says, I just don't know if I want to pray about that? And so what this morning we're finding out is that Jesus is teaching us to trust that God is a good father. And whatever he gives you is a good thing. And you're not going to come to a good father and ask for a good thing and get a bad thing. That's the point. And so allow this to inform you this morning, loved ones. Allow this to fill your heart. And so whatever it is, with faith, when we pray, know that he's a good father. And so let's get practical here. What are you praying about this morning? Like, what are you waiting on God for? What are you going before the Father? What are you asking? What are you seeking? What are you knocking for? What are you not praying for? What are you not asking him about? What is it? I've heard Amir say this. I've heard Pastor Scott say this too. This is so good. When it comes to prayer, God doesn't answer no. From our perspective, it's no. But from God's perspective, God doesn't answer no. He answers yes to his will. The problem is we're not always aligned with God's will. And so here's how we perceive it. We perceive it this way. I'll explain to you by giving you an illustration. Every parent answers requests of their children, yes, no, and later. All right? And so how many of you parents, your children ask for things, right? Am I the only one? My kids are asking for stuff all the time, all right? Every parent here knows all about this. And would a good parent say yes to everything? Would a good parent say yes to everything? Hey, kids, what do you think? No! Good answer. That's the right answer. A good parent doesn't say yes to everything. Saying yes does not make you a good parent. Like, hey, Daddy, can we stay up until midnight? Yes, totally. Tomorrow you have school. I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's stay up really, really late. Is that a good idea? Not a good idea. My son's diabetic. What does he love? Everything with sugar in it. When his sugar is high, hey, Daddy, my sugar is super high. Can I have some candy? Yes, of course you can. I'm a good father. Have as much as you want. Is that a good idea? It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea at all. How about this? Hey, Daddy, can we have some Red Bull and bottle rockets before bed? We're going to light a fire tonight. We're going to go out with a bang. Red Bull bottle rockets for children, never a good idea. Hey, Daddy, can I date this boy? Yes, of course you can date him. He's about to get out of rehab, isn't he? Has he kicked the habit? I heard that he did. I think it's a fantastic idea. You should definitely date him. Not a good idea. And so when it comes to prayer, God doesn't answer no. He answers yes to his will. The problem is we're not always aligned with his will. And so this morning, some of you would say, I've been praying, but it's not working. I asked God for some things, and he said no. No, it actually worked. God just said no. Or maybe he said later. But when it comes to prayer, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says later. And so let me speak real quick to the person who, you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying. I got some stuff that I've been praying about for a long time. And you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you're beginning to wonder, why does it, like God just seems like he's taking a sweet time. And I've been praying, I've been asking, seeking, knocking, like why isn't he answering me? What I love about this is verse 11 and 12, I think that clarifies it for us, doesn't it? Jesus says in verse 11 that a good father will not give his son a serpent if he asks for a fish. In other words, a good father will only give his children what is good for them. That's the kind of father that he is. This is the only time this is the only answer Jesus gives to the question, why does God sometimes take his time in answering our prayer? In the text, when the Father in heaven gives a slow answer, And when we continue to pray, it's because he's giving us a fish, not a serpent. Which means he's giving us that which is good for us. He knows best. And so if we continue to pray, if we continue to ask and seek and knock, and the answer is slow, it's because the best thing for us is a slow answer. Jason, how can you say that? Because I know the Father, and he's a good, good Father. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here. And so when we pray in faith, we will get according to our need. All right? Amen? Amen. It's true. Now notice here our last verse, verse 13. And so another lesson Jesus wants us to know about praying. When we pray in faith, we will get a response. When we pray in faith, we will get according to our need. Notice there, verse 13. Here's the last point. When we pray in faith, we will get more than we deserve. So notice there, verse 13. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children. Let's stop there real quick. The first thing he says here is that even parents who are evil know how to give good gifts. So let's unpack that. Wait a second, evil? What are you talking about, evil? Some of the men right now are thinking, man, I'm not evil. I work really hard. I put bread on the table. My family eats. I'm trying to raise them up right so that they love Jesus and follow the Lord. Like, what do you mean by evil? I'm not evil. Kind of seems like it's a big sort of ugly word, evil. So let's talk about fathers in general first. It's a big word, evil. Fathers, we're talking about earthly fathers here. Earthly fathers, unlike the perfect heavenly Father, we are evil in the sense that we are sinful. And so be honest, men, we fall short. I fall short. Each of us falls short. Our intentions may be great, but we still fall short. Great as our desires are to be a good, good father, good earthly father, we are still sinners. We still miss the mark, regardless of how hard we try. There are times when we are selfish. There are times when we sin in our anger. Don't leave me hanging here, dads. It's true, right? There are times when we are inconsiderate. There are times when we are lazy around our children. It's true, we are. I am. Hear me, brothers. One of the most powerful things that we can do for our wives and for our children is to acknowledge the evil that we commit when we sin against them. This is telling your wife and your children when you've sinned, and it's owning it. You know what? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I sinned in that way. What I said was not nice. My timing was terrible. Please forgive me. Probably one of the best lessons that we can teach our wives, our children especially. Jesus says that earthly fathers are evil. And so when we say or do or fail in acting in a way that would honor the Lord, when we fall short, it is very helpful to our families to repent of our sin before them. Some of you have never heard your father say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." I bet half of us have never heard that. I think it's unfortunate. But a lot of us have never heard our dad say, "You know what, it's my fault. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Please forgive me." Maybe you've never heard your dad say that. It's hard. Why? Because even when your dad was wrong, he didn't acknowledge it. He didn't confess it. He didn't agree with Jesus by saying it was evil. And so what we do, fathers, is we create, if you want to create a loving, nurturing, kind, compassionate, gospel-centered atmosphere in your home, then you need to agree with Jesus and call your sin what it is when you fall short and say it's evil, it's wrong. Please forgive me. If you want to raise stubborn, rebellious children, then just act like you're perfect and hold your kids to a standard that you can uphold yourself. And that's what will happen. So with that in mind, notice the rest of verse 13. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The Holy Spirit to those who ask. That may be the best kept secret of the whole passage. This is what I mean when I say when we pray in faith, we will get more than we deserve. We do not deserve the great gift of the Holy Spirit, but yet our Heavenly Father is willing to give to those who ask. It's no accident. You don't have to turn there, but back in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, that while Jesus was praying, the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove. In the same way, it says in Acts that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, at like the high point of a 10-day prayer vigil. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says that when the church had prayed, the place where they had gathered, it was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. My point is persistent, ongoing, faith-filled, I'm not giving up. Prayer, that is the pathway to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when you pray in faith, you will get more than you deserve. Once again, it's the character of our God. He's a good, good Father. And lest we think God is distant from us and inattentive to us, the Holy Spirit will not delay. And when you continue in prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, more is happening in your life through that than you can ever imagine. And so God waits. Because persistent, ongoing, faith-filled, I'm not giving up prayer is good for us. Doesn't that settle your hearts? Our God is so good. He's a good, good Father. And so let's keep that in mind this week when we pray to Him by faith. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there. As we wrap up our time this morning, I'd like to speak to those of you who are Christian and those of you who are not Christian. What I want you to take away this morning is that prayer is always a byproduct of faith. Prayer is always a byproduct of faith. And so if your prayer life has been off lately, maybe it's because your faith has been small, or maybe you don't have faith at all. And so let me remind us where our faith begins and where prayer is born. It originates when we come to the foot of the cross and trust in Jesus. And so for those of you who are not Christians this morning, we're so glad that you're here. I thank you for giving me your attention this morning. We appreciate that you're here. Let me leave you with this. And this will be probably the most important thing you hear all morning. It's important for you to know about this Jesus that I've been proclaiming. The Bible says that Jesus is the key that unlocks the door of faith. Jesus, that key, He unlocks the door of faith. Jesus is the map that leads to the narrow road that very few find. Jesus is the cure for your terminal disease. It's called sin. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You've heard about this Jesus before. Isn't it time that you trust in Him for your salvation? Yeah, maybe I am Jason, so how do I do that? It's believing. It's trusting. It's recognizing, yeah, I fall short. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. It's admitting it. It's recognizing it. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the key that unlocks the door of faith. I believe that you're the cure for my terminal disease called sin. I believe that you're the map that leads to the narrow path that very few find. And so today I confess you as Lord. And I want to follow you. Jesus, you say you're the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I don't want to walk in darkness anymore. What do? You follow Jesus. That's what you do. And now for the rest of us, for the rest of you that are followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus' words, they should motivate us, shouldn't they? Our Father is so good. We can come to Him anytime. It doesn't matter the time of day. 24/7, 365, He's there. And He's willing, and He's open, and He's ready. That's the character of our Father in heaven. this morning, we've been challenged to pray faith-filled prayers. The question is, will prayer be more central in our life, in our small groups, in our homes, in our marriages, in our child rearing? Jesus lived a life of prayer, and he taught a life of prayer. And here's the thing. God wants Harvest Bible Chapel, Winter Garden, this church, this worship center, to be a house of prayer. That's what he's calling us to this morning. And so would we give ourselves to daily, triumphant, conquering, powerful, persistent, ongoing, I'm not giving up, oh Lord, prayer. That's the challenge. That's the bar. That's the example to follow. And so I urge you, loved ones, this week as we seek to apply it, as we talk about it in our small groups. It's our Father, man. He invites us to himself. So I tell you what, why don't we stand to our feet? Let's worship this good, good Father who's teaching us to pray this morning.